Hello, SEEPSA community, and welcome to the TDSB Human Library, Conversations Around Black Student Success and Excellence. I am your host, Shale Graham, representing for the Center of Excellence for Black Student Achievement team. We have an insightful conversation in store for you today. Are you ready to talk courageously? Let's get into it. Hello, community. Welcome back. It is season 2 of the Human Library podcast. This season, we are going to have conversations around Black student success and excellence. In this episode, we are going to discuss supporting positive racial identity in early years with Dr. Carrie-Anne Askai. Dr. Askai is an anti-racist early childhood scholar, researcher, and writer. Before we get deep into our conversation, Dr. Askai, can you take a moment to share with us some of the experiences that led you to focus your research on children and race?
My professional experience in the classroom as an early childhood educator and as a post-secondary teacher educator, as well as my own cultural background, served to inform my research on children and race and the methods by which I conceptualize anti-racism in early childhood education. For instance, as an ECE, I once observed exclusionary behavior by a four-year-old white child who expressed that he did not want to sit next to a racialized child because, to use the child's own words, brown is bad. In an all-day kindergarten classroom, I once observed two young Black girls' refusal to play with a Black doll. It became evident through their play interactions that they harbored a strong preference for whiteness. One caveat is necessary to mention here, and that is not all Black children demonstrate a negative perception of their racial identity. In fact, there's an ample body of literature termed racial socialization that reveals a clear link, a strong link between parents' socialization strategies, that is, the discussions they have with them about the child's racial ancestry, and children's positive, and Black children in particular, positive racial identity development. Teachers can and should play a role in racial socialization as well. Further, in early childhood teacher education, Eurocentric perspectives often pervade curricula, pedagogy, and institutional norms. When I initially began teaching at the university level and raising my professional teaching experience as a topic of scrutiny, I carefully examine and critique my syllabi and tools to determine whether my courses offer a sufficient counter-narrative to dominant racial tropes. For example, does a given assignment encourage critical thinking regarding the intersections between and among issues such as systemic racism, white privilege and power, and children's racial attitudes? What instructional strategies am I drawing on to decenter whiteness? How can I effectively prepare my students for anti-racist practice, not only with children, but also with families and communities? By way of addressing the preceding questions, the scope of my anti-racist approach extends beyond the early years classroom to foreground institutional change through dismantling policies and practices which continue to maintain the dominance of Eurocentric thought in the early childhood field, marginalize the lived experiences of racialized children, reproduce systemic inequities, and in particular, the school context, and silence diverse knowledges.
Thank you for that, Dr. Askai. You know, just listening to your experiences, it is evident that you are not only knowledgeable, but you have a passion for anti-racist early childhood education. And that passion definitely shines through. So I have to ask you two things. For those of us who are unfamiliar with the term, or for those of us who may need a refresher, can you tell us what anti-racist early childhood education is? And can you also tell us why it's important for early years educators to implement this framework in their classrooms?
The prevailing trend in current scholarship promotes anti-bias as a central approach to instruction in early childhood. Now, anti-bias education has several merits, But what distinguishes anti-racist early childhood education from anti-bias is the centrality afforded to race. Anti-bias methodologies, for example, account for a multitude of positionalities, whereas anti-racist early childhood education acknowledges the intersectionality of identities, such as race, class, and gender, but assign primacy to race. Furthermore, anti-racist analyses of white children's racial attitudes highlight how they interpret and subsequently act upon their perceptions of racial privilege and the racial trauma it causes for Black children. Another way that anti-racist early childhood education, as I have conceptualized it, departs from anti-bias is via a more comprehensive scope, which includes teacher education, policy, and the field of ECE in general, as well as anti-racist research with children, such that deficit-based perspectives are not reproduced or evident in teaching practices and assessment. Anti-racist early childhood education will problematize the continued emphasis on developmentally appropriate practice by interrogating how white privilege and power operate by way of influencing policies, procedures, and key decision-making processes. Now, I'm not saying that developmentally appropriate practice is insignificant. What I'm drawing attention to is the fact that there is a lack of diverse knowledge, cultural knowledge, in the knowledge base of ECE. From a pedagogical perspective, anti-racist ECE gives due consideration to how play-based learning environments may be enriched to support the positive development of Black children's identities. For example, what would an African-centered play-based learning environment look like? What kind of centers can teachers create that would allow Black children to develop racial pride? An anti-racist early childhood education framework fundamentally supports the holistic well-being of Black children with a mind to redressing inequities across the social strata and in public schools and childcare settings. For instance, or to put the matter more plainly, for a Black child, a child of color, a racialized child, to enter a classroom space and experience biased teacher expectations, harsh discipline, a worldview that erases or minimizes his or her experiences as a racialized body in the Canadian context, a context rife with anti-Blackness, pathologizes his or her family and communities, in my opinion, is equivalent to psychological violence. Indeed, I pose a question to you. How can a child learn from such a teacher? How can a child develop a positive sense of self and agency when a teacher's pedagogy, school leadership, or even the school culture mirrors the societal anti-Blackness to which the child is exposed? To be an anti-racist early childhood educator and teacher is to ensure that professionally and personally, you take a decisive stance against racial injustices, however they manifest, and commit to anti-racist practices daily. The classroom is one space in which to do so, but it is not the only space. For Black children and racialized children, however, the classroom must be the place to see themselves as the gifts they are, the place in which they celebrate, they value their identity, the place in which the teacher encourages group empowerment and racial pride. Anti-racist ECE is pedagogical and institutional justice for Black children in the Canadian context and racialized children as well.
Ooh, child. Okay, Dr. Askai coming through with the nuggets once again. So, okay, Dr. Askai, I noticed that you reference research quite a bit as an integral component for creating shifts for students in early years. Why I find this interesting is that as practitioners in the classroom, we don't always see ourselves as researchers, even though we often teach from an inquiry-based approach. So I'm curious to hear your insight about these two things. Number one, why do you think early years educators should see themselves as researchers? And number two, how might practitioners use current research on children and race within their classroom spaces in meaningful ways?
Research involves a variety of activities. For example, we must identify questions and concerns, gather corresponding data, and then execute the pertinent data analysis. The reality of widespread inequity in the classroom reflects the need for rigorous research applications. In my experience, many teachers are already researchers in that they may gather data on student behavior by keeping benchmark records or via the ABC model of assessment. At some point, teachers analyze performance data to examine how students excel or fall short. The data then informs their teaching practice, including the instructional strategies and curricula that they use to engage students and address their needs. Conducting research as teachers puts us in the position of seeking out and identifying solutions that may be unique to the learning needs of the children in our classrooms. While ample international literature on children and race exists, the findings in Canadian studies, including a recent contribution by McNevin and Berman, The Black Doll Doesn't Fit, certainly dovetails with those of earlier studies that showed children's preference, as I mentioned before, for whiteness, children's positive evaluation of whiteness, negative evaluations of Blackness. Moreover, we have learned that young Canadian children, racialized children, exhibit such a preference, exhibit this pro-white bias. This is not to suggest, as I mentioned before, that all children internalize the racially preoccupied values of Canadian society. Rather, such research alerts us to the urgent necessity of anti-racism in schools and in ECE settings. It should go without saying that the pro-white preference among both young Black children and racialized children, as well as white Canadian children, calls for disruption, calls for explicit anti-racist strategies. For instance, in a play-based environment, educators should examine how centers are organized, the materials that are in the classroom, and more importantly, teachers should also examine their perceptions of children's racial competence. And what I mean by that is teachers should interrogate what they think children know about race, because as the research shows, one of the significant barriers to implementing anti-racism in ECE is teachers' limited perceptions of children's racial awareness. From a curricular perspective, teachers should also consider what types of math or science language or activities are incorporated so that Black children and those of the African diaspora recognize their group's contribution to the preceding disciplines. Additionally, teachers, educators, I want you to consider, do you integrate discussions about race and racism into your lesson? Anti-racism in ECE is both change and resistance oriented. We facilitate discussions about racism, but also we hold and we create and we nurture a space for stories of agencies, for stories of racial pride. In effect, anti-racism seeks to raise or amplify the voices of the oppressed. Anti-racism in ECE provides young Black children and racialized children with an opportunity to develop racial pride. Above all, anti-racism should be the core focus of teachers, of educators, school leaders, professional practice, and their daily live realities. The personal must intersect with the professional.
Dr. Askai, we are just so privileged to have you here with us today as we reimagine what the learning conditions which support Black student well-being and achievement could look like and should look like. Community, I hope you were taking notes. Unfortunately, it's that time where we have to wrap up the conversation. But before you go, Dr. Askai, can you leave us with some tools that can help us further build our toolkits? Can you recommend 3 resources for educators who are interested in taking on an anti-racist early childhood education approach in their classrooms?
Yes. Please review my co-authored 2017 article entitled Canadian Children and Race Towards an Anti-Racism Analysis. Also my 2019 publication, Who's Got the Power? My 2018 article, The Missing Links, Enhancing Anti-Bias Education with Anti-Racist Education. And of course, my 2020 publication, Don't Look Away, Embracing, my co-authored publication, Don't Look Away, Embracing Anti-Bias Classrooms.
Dr. Askai, on behalf of the Center of Excellence for Black Student Achievement team, we just want to thank you for stopping by and chatting with us about supporting positive racial identity in early years. Okay, SEEPSA community, that's all for today. If you like this episode, don't forget to share it with someone in your network and post it on social media mentioning the Center of Excellence for Black Student Achievement @TDSB_SEEPSA. Bye for now.